Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey Peas, it's Kate here.
Hello, and it's Mandy.
We just wanted to talk to you about something so exciting for you, which might be working with us.
That's right. We are pretty
Zoom friendly.
We are nifty with a PowerPoint is all I have to say. So we have enjoyed the last couple of weeks working with some corporate groups, some community groups, a local council, the libraries. We can speak to your group. We've spoken to carers.
We have. We've spoken to the bomb.
Come on.
That's the top of Australia.
Exactly.
The bomb. That's as high as you can go.
So if you want to work with us, get in contact with us at our website, twopeasinapodcast.com.au.
Yep.
And we would love to have a chat about how we can work with your group.
Yep. Of course, we charge a little bit of money. That's because actually we are valuable people and we put the money towards the podcast, the booklets, and at the moment during COVID, actually putting food on the table.
Yeah.
So if you would like to work with us, we would love to work with you. Just hit us up.
Yeah.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is with beautiful Hannah. She's a queer Melbourne-based theatre artist who has a big rainbow tribe, including ID twins born in 2018 at 24 weeks.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
How are you? The sun is shining.
Oh,
I just want to say a couple of people have messaged me and put their temperature after
that
person.
Yeah, I know.
Not their bodily temperature, not like I'm 36.7. Their
temperature outside.
The ambient room outside temperature, yes.
So. Melbourne, thank you. Even when I went to get our lunch, because I buy lunch for Kate and I, everyone was smiling behind their masks.
I know.
But it was like, Melbourne, come on, we're nearly there.
And then this weekend it's going to be
raining again. Yeah, but it's going to be hot and raining.
Is
it? 26.
Oh.
Oh, Molly told me anyway.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I haven't pre-checked the bomb. So
anyway, thank you, Melbourne. We're in a state of so many emotions. So
by the time you hear this,
we'll be out.
Yeah. I won't believe it till I see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are booking restaurants.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or you can't get in.
No, you can't get in.
Yeah.
No,
I tried.
No.
Anyway, we have got a wonderful
very
guest
excited.
Today. We're excited
I've
to have
I've been following
her.
On Instagram
for
ages.
Yeah, me too. So I think the P Tribe are going to love you. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hi, Hannah.
Okay, and where do we go? Right, so Hannah, we are thrilled to have you today.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. I was just saying to you guys that just having an hour of no children is amazing.
Oh, it really is.
Hannah is in Melbourne. She is like us.
She's done the hard 2 years.
Yeah, you really have.
And with little twins.
Yes, little twins, right?
Yeah. Yes, they're little still.
Yeah. They really don't know non-pandemic life, do they? Oh, maybe.
Well, they don't.
Not really.
Yeah. It's bizarre because we had the twins 3 years ago. They have pretty much been in lockdown. And, you know, we had the premier winter. Yes. So the premier winter, you're locked down, yes, you know, afterwards. And then they really haven't had any known non-lockdown times.
No.
Wow.
Which is bizarre because they're three.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they think masks are normal.
Yeah. And they've seen masks probably their whole lives.
I know. Oh.
Well, let's hear all about it. So let's ask our questions.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, you want to ask first?
Sure. So the first question is, do you have any music or a band or songs that either get you through good times or help you through the bad times?
So I'm a huge The People Have the Power, Patti Smith person.
Right, yes.
Yep. And I, anytime I feel like the world is turning upside down, I sort of just belt that out a little bit.
Yep.
And I've got a song, I've got this artist called Laura Mavula. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No.
She's incredible. She's from London and she's got all her siblings are in her band.
Oh.
So I was like, you know, a bunch of them.
Yep.
And she sings this song called Sing to the Moon, which, you know, you should all listen to.
Yes.
And I sang that to the twins every day in their humidity crib. But basically what happened was before I had the twins, I had a miscarriage, like, I don't know, a year beforehand. And I'd had to have a D&C that day and we had tickets to her concert. And like, she's my favorite artist, right? And the tickets to the concert were that night of the D&C.
Of
course. You know, you're supposed to go home and like rest for 48 hours. Right? And I said to Lani, we are going to that concert. I don't care. So I'm like bleeding.
Oh,
yes. And like, you know,
could
walk
you
up
be
to the recital
in a more emotional state? No.
Right? And I booked the tickets so long ago. We were in the front row of this thing. And it was all women there,
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by these women. And she starts singing and it's a song about, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and it's just so quiet and you're there with your own grief, you know, in the middle of the night. And there's no one around, you can sing to the moon. It's a song, it's right. I feel like even a bit teary telling you about it. So it's this incredible song. And we were all these women just standing there, like chests raised to the stage, weeping. I was weeping, I was bleeding. I was just like having lost this baby. It was an extraordinary experience. And then when the twins were born and they're saying to you, you know, sing beside the humidity crib, and it's a weird thing because you are holding on so tight and you think, if I take a breath big enough to sing, I'm going to start weeping and I won't be able to stop.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you think, I can't sing, So it started as a hum one day. I thought, oh, my God, I've got to hum because everyone's saying you've got to sing to your babies and there's nothing else you can do, So you think, oh, my God, I've got to hum. So I start humming and then this was the song that just started and it's a real repetitive, kind of like a mantra in a way.
Yeah.
And it just started coming out and then it was just the one thing that I could get out every day to sing to them, in those humidity cribs.
Yeah.
So that's my song. It's a bit of a story. Sorry, but
that's perfect. I can't wait to listen.
It gets put onto our 2P Spotify. So everyone's all the guest songs.
Great.
So
everyone
can listen to it. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah.
Okay, changing gears. Did you win any awards when you were at school?
No. God, no. I was not the award winner. No. I went to grew up in a country sort of coastal town.
Right.
And sport was everything.
Yeah.
And I was not a sporty child.
Can relate.
I was, weird and creative and and everyone had to go to zone and all these things. Everyone went. I never went. I think I was like the only kid who never went to the sporting carnivals. But no, I was not an award winner. No.
Did you find your place within the creative part at school or
I was really a fish out of water until I got to uni.
Then
I met my people,
Yeah, I say that to kids. High school's really shit and brutal for a lot of people, but if you can get to uni or further education, you might just find your people because they're all into the same thing that you're into. And it's just such so much more diversity.
Yes.
You just live with this little school and you think it's your whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is. It's an incredible university. I mean, like, you know, or, you know, just that bursting out of school, really. Yes. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do, TAFE, anything, you know. It's just it's exciting to, yeah, you're right, just to be amongst different people.
Yeah, yeah. Even like, I grew up in the suburbs of, well, almost the Yarra Valley in Melbourne, and our school was all white except for lots of children from PNG whose parents had joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church and sent them over to boarding school. Poor kids had never worn shoes. Strict uniform, freezing cold. I don't know what they thought of it. Now I'm like, oh, I wish I could go and talk to them because, you know.
You'd love to hear.
But apart from that, there was no multiculturalism then. Like, and then you go to uni and you're like, oh, wow. And I remember meeting this girl because I went to RMIT Bundoora. And she'd never heard of Box Hill, which is a suburb in Melbourne in the east. And I was like, oh, because I'd lived all in the east.
Yes.
So I was like, yeah, we have such tiny lives. And then boom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to find this theatre group. It's called the Australian Theatre for Young People in Sydney. And it's incredible. It's down on the wharf, like right underneath the harbour bridge. Underneath the Sydney Theatre Company. It's amazing. And basically I remember the first time I rocked up there and I was in a play with this group of kids. I was like 25 of us and, you know, young adults in this play. And I couldn't believe that people could say things and somebody else not tease them about it.
Yes.
Like it was just, I remember just going, oh, my God, everybody loves everybody here. And it's so accepting of everyone's weirdness and difference. Or just, you know, inability to rock up that day because of whatever. Nobody's bitching about anyone or anything. I thought, this is amazing. Yes. I just couldn't. I walked around for like a year just like with my eyes wide open. That you could just do or say anything without censure, basically. Yes. You know, it was just amazing. Yeah, it was incredible. It was amazing.
You're ready
place.
For being a mum in a house where
you don't get to leave for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Just trying
totally.
Not to swear all day.
Yeah, yes. 100%.
All right. Now, our big question, why are you a P?
Well, I'm a P because I've got two delicious pea shoots who are 3 years old now, Alfie and Otis, and they were born at 24 weeks. Mm. Identical twins, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they were born at 24 weeks because, similarly to you, Kate, they had twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome.
Yeah.
So.
So up until, like, when did you find out you had twin-to-twin?
Well, a bit different. So we basically, when I found out I was having twins, I've got my mate is my obstetrician and she said to me, listen, no one will judge you or anything if you decide you want to have a termination because they were ID twins.
Yes.
You know, they had a membrane, but that, you know, she's like, it is so high risk, this journey, you know, and it's going to be hard yakka. Yep. And she had a couple of sets of twins as well.
Wow. Right.
So she said, you know, no one's going to judge you if you do that. And I said to Lani, and she gave us all the stats. Like she said, there's a 25% chance or whatever it is, 25% chance of getting twin to twin. There's this, you know, you've got this chance of being premature, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I just said to Lani, my partner, I can't do it.
Yeah.
No. It's just we fought so hard to have this pregnancy and we'd done IVF and we'd had the miscarriage and we'd done all this stuff.
Yes.
And I so desperately wanted to be pregnant again and I said, I can't do it. No way.
Yeah.
So
I could have heard to give you that because
It was shocking to me at the time.
Yeah, it is shocking.
Until you're a twin parent and you've been through the NICU business, you just think, oh, like twins, lovely, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not until you're sort of in that world. Now someone says to me they're having twins and I start to feel panicked.
Yes, I do know.
I still feel like that.
Yes, and mine is 16. I remember when, because I've, you know, had the same obstetrician for years, and when I presented with the twins and he said to me, I saw that scan and I thought, oh, no, not Kate. And I remember thinking, what a thing to say.
Yeah.
But what he meant was, I know identical twins are so high risk.
Yes.
And you're going to have to go through this now.
Yeah.
Like, so now I'm like, right, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So we had a beautiful pregnancy. Like, you know, I mean, I didn't have a beautiful pregnancy. I was in so much discomfort. But we had, you know, every scan every 2 weeks, you know, those scans.
Yeah.
and they were growing perfectly. And she said, oh, you know, look, it's so good actually, because where the umbilical cord is right in a really good spot. That means that, you know, it's unlikely for twin to twin to develop. It's a good spot for it to be, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, we're in the clear, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And 22 weeks I went for my scan because I just finished a gig, this epic gig that I'd done, and we were going to go on a holiday before I started directing my next piece of theatre that I was going to do before the twins were born.
Yeah.
And so it's 22 weeks. I went in for a scan, perfect. So we're like, great, let's go to Noosa. Amazing. Off we go. I flew to my parents' place first. I got off the plane in Port Macquarie. I had Lani was flying up to meet us later. I had Jude and Dash with me, our older two, and all the bags and stuff. And I got off the plane in Port Macquarie where my parents are from, and I just felt something go, like in my stomach. Like it wasn't anything. It was just a weird feeling. Like it was like suddenly I just got tighter, my stomach. Anyway, I didn't think much of it, but I suddenly developed this epic pain underneath my rib, like agony. So we went to Port Macquarie, went to Noosa, the daddy, so the twins and Jude and Dash have got daddies as well, who they live, the kids all live with us, Lani and I, but we spend a lot of time with the daddies as well. They live in Byron Bay. Yep. So we were all meeting in Noosa for this like holiday. Get there, and I thought, oh my God, thank God they're here because I cannot move.
And I
was taking Panadeine Forte up there, rang the obstetrician. I said to her, babe, I can't move.
Yeah.
And she said, have you been hiking? And I said, oh, I did go for quite a long walk yesterday. She said, well, you just take it easy. You know, you're like 22 weeks pregnant. Just, you know, it sounds all right to me. Your last scan was beautiful. Just rest, you know. Thank God I didn't go to the hospital because if they'd put a probe on me, they would have seen what was happening in there. And I would never have got back to Melbourne.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah.
So we got on the plane on the Sunday night, got back. By the time we landed in that airport in Melbourne, I couldn't walk. Oh, I was on the ground on all fours. I was in so much pain.
No, that's not right.
And so Lani said, we've got to go to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to the hospital. I've got a scan booked at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get the kids to school in the morning because, you know, it's after the holidays. Yes, you know, I need them. So I just need to make sure they're okay and I need to get them into school. And I said, they're not going to do a scan tonight. Anyway, they'll do one in the morning, whatever. It's better that I go to the proper scanning place with my person who knows me, and, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. So I spent all night basically on all fours. Get to the thing, and she just took one look at me. She goes, Hannah, you've got twin to twin. She didn't even put the probe on me.
Yeah,
she just looked at my stomach. Swelled up so much. Swollen, yes. Right? She said, you've got twin to twin. And I said, no. We just had the scan. She's like, no, it's happened.
Yeah.
It happened in that short amount of time.
And it often does.
Just went. And it's actually remember when it went.
22 to 24 weeks that it really Yes. Wow, that's amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
You felt it.
Anyway, so then my our gorgeous obstetrician broke up with us, and she said, you need to be with a fetal medical expert. I got admitted to hospital that day, and then he came to visit me that night and put the probe on and just said, I can't do the surgery, because you know they can do surgery, right?
Yep.
He said, I can't do it because
the way your placenta was lying.
Yeah, it was anterior placenta.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah, and also the position of Otis, he was stuck up under my rib, and that was the pain. So he was actually cracking my rib.
Oh.
He was the stuck twin up there, and that was what the agony was. Oh. Anyway, so they said, look, let's try to get you to 27 weeks, bed rest, the whole, you know, that whole shtick.
Yep.
But I went into labor on the Wednesday because I had so much fluid.
Yeah.
And no, they gave me it. They took fluid the fluid reduction. And threw it out. They took like, know all the words. You remember the words. I don't remember the words. Fluid reduction. And then that caused the labor. So I went into labor, gave me drugs to stop the labor in birth suite, which it did, which was amazing.
They give you some steroids.
Yeah, had the steroids, blah, blah. On the Friday, so that was that had been the month, Wednesday, Friday, we went for the next scan to maybe do another fluid reduction. And he said, he looked and did the probe, and he turned around and he said to me, I'm really sorry, Hannah, but that little baby down the bottom there, you're not going to make it.
Oh.
And it was not what I was expecting. Wow. Like at that moment, I thought we were going to talk about fluid reduction or what we're going to talk about. And I said, what? You know, like, what? What are you talking about? And he said, his heart's failing.
Oh.
And I said, really? He said, I give this baby 24 hours to live.
Oh, goodness.
He said, so let's go upstairs and have a chat.
Okay.
And Lani and I just like weeping, being pushed through the women's hospital in this wheelchair, like weeping, just going, what is happening? You know, get up to the room. My mum and dad were there. Thank God. I couldn't even speak. Couldn't even get the words out. But I said, we'd already named them. Like just sort of randomly we'd named them.
Yeah.
And I said, Alfie's going to die.
Oh.
And she said, yeah, they were just amazing basically. Mm. And then they brought the NICU people up, you know, the neonatologist, and they had him, and we all just sat there staring at each other, talking through statistics for an hour.
Oh, Lordy.
So they said, look, they're going to be, you know, the chances of survival 24 weeks, about, you know, 40% with disability. And, you know, then we had to go, well, you know, what are we talking about? Disability, that's a huge spectrum. Are you talking about, you know, like what are you talking about here? And all of those conversations, which were super tricky. And then they said they're 40% chance at 24 weeks, but they're going to be born sick.
Yes.
Because of the twin to twin. So Alfie's very, very unwell, and Otis is unwell as well. So, you know, the chances, he said, I don't want to put a number on it, but we're talking 2-4%.
Oh.
Right? Survival. So. And he said, so here's your options. Is this too much information?
No. whatever you want to share.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So anyway, he said, look, these are your options. He was so amazing, this guy. Oh, my God, he was amazing. I'd only met him at the beginning of the week.
Yes.
He said, here's your options. He said, you can let Alfie die and give Otis the best chance at survival.
Yep.
But with that decision, there's a 20 to 30%. It's all these percentages. Honestly, it was like beyond. He said it's 20, 30% chance that Otis will have a catastrophic brain injury when Alfie dies because all of the fluid and whatever heads back his way kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
So that could happen. But he said, look, given, you know, that the percentage of them surviving is so tiny, you know, maybe I'm leaning towards thinking that's the best decision, but he said, really, there's no, I can't stay. He said, it's just an impossible one. It's an ethical nightmare from my point of view. He's like, I cannot tell you what you should do. And he's like, you know, all these conversations, what do you think about living with a child with a disability? You know, and he had an hour. It was an hour to make the decision, an hour. He left, they left, came back an hour later, and I was in so much pain.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd gone into labor.
Mm.
And he looked at me and he said, look, you've gone into labor. Mm. And he said, I think this changes everything.
Yeah.
He said, I think we've got to deliver these babies.
Your body told you.
And my body had just gone nut.
Yeah.
They're coming out. Yep. And, you know, it was so funny. All of those statistics that they were telling me, my heart of heart was still saying, I want them to be born because I don't want one to be alive without the other. And I'm sorry if that makes other people, you know, who've lost brothers, you know.
No, it will.
So
but
sad.
They will relate though.
Yeah.
But that was the decision, you know, that was in my head. I thought I want them to die together.
I was the same. I was like, they came into the world together. They can go out together. I can't make this decision.
No, exactly. I can't do it.
I know people that have clamped the cord and all that. And that's fine. I just couldn't do it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the same. So anyway, obviously my body just took over.
Yes.
And, went in for he wheeled me down to the operating theatre. He said, let's get you down there.
Wow.
And wheeled me down, like amazing, you know, didn't wait for the other people to come and whatever. He just did it himself, pushed me down himself into the operating theatre. He was amazing. Honestly, he was amazing. Yeah. He said, I'm supposed to be going on a holiday tonight, but I've just rung my wife and said I'm delivering 24 weekers. And she said, okay, no problem.
Yeah. Oh, what a
family. Yeah. Anyway, so then we went down, they were born. And, they were so tiny. I mean, honestly, they were so little. Otis, when he was born, he was twin two and the smaller of the two. He looked like a puppet.
Yeah.
Like his eyes were fused, you know, and he looked, a friend of mine had directed this play with the year before with a little puppet that was an old man.
Mm. Yes.
That was sort of the protagonist of this play. And it was called Bambit's Book of Lost Stories. Mm. And they held up this little baby over the sheet to me. Yeah. And I thought, that's Bambit. Yes. That's this person with the lost stories, this little old man with the lost stories, you know?
They do look like little old men though, don't they?
Yeah, which was bizarre. Yeah. So anyway, they were born and, yeah, that was where the journey began.
It really did begin.
Straight to NICU.
Yes, straight to NICU, yeah. But, I mean, honestly, what a hospital, seriously, women's hospital. They're just...
We're so lucky.
It's a place to be.
Honestly, that was so amazing. There was like, you know, it was a Friday night and there was like, you know, 30 people there, two teams, 15 people each working on each baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
You just never experienced
and
anything like
it. And when did you... did you go into shock then?
No, but it was a very, I had a very bad, I had a spinal block and my spinal dropped too quickly.
Yep.
And they didn't have enough pain meds on board. So they got what they call behind the pain and I was in so much pain. Oh. I could feel the whole thing, you know, the Caesar scar and everything. So, I was in agony. So we went back up to the room. Lani went down with the babies to NICU.
Yep.
And I just was with mum and dad holding their hands. Yeah. And
And dad must have been so worried.
Far out. Oh my God. And I just remember I was tapping constantly my chest, just over and over again to just do something to stop the pain. Am I alive? What has happened? You know, this thing. And mum was saying, why is she tapping? I said, it's okay. I just need to tap.
just let me. Whatever works.
just need to tap. So Blake and Troy, it was a thunderstorm that night. Blake and Troy got stuck in the air in the aeroplane. How they flew down, you know, lunch, as soon as we, whatever. So the daddies are coming and everyone's trying to work out how the daddy's going to get to the hospital, how they're going to get in because it was the night, middle of the night, and, you know, whatever. Anyway.
You know, so this is a movie.
This is a movie.
It was very dramatic. Yep. Anyway, Lani and the daddies all went down with the babies and mum and dad with me, and then Lani came up and, you know, I could, you know, she was amazing. Lani's a doctor, so she was just amazing with the medicine, you know, trying to get the pain meds into me. She's like, come on, mom, need more, which was amazing. And then, but it was bizarre. I remember came back up to the room and one of the things I remember so clearly was that written on the whiteboard next to my bed was, congratulations, welcome to the world, Alfie and Otis. And, I mean, what a beautiful thing the nurses had done. But I thought, why? This is not a congratulations moment. Yes. This is like, I was like, don't they know they're not going to live? Yes. Like, that's what I thought. They're going to die. This is not correct. But, of course, it was so beautiful. And I see that now in retrospect. But
I
it was very
like
bizarre
too,
at the time.
And I couldn't explain that. I couldn't articulate that to people that I found that very, like, hang on, but we don't know what's going to happen.
And I think about that often just because I think it's a sort of snapshot of where my head was at that point, you know, just like so confused by what was happening, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then the next morning, got down there to meet them, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I could just—I couldn't believe it. They were so tiny, so
You've
tiny.
Never seen anything like it.
Never seen anything like it. You can't. You know, people put the wedding rings or whatever on their.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't. It doesn't do it justice about how tiny they are.
No.
And they're black.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
From all the bruising.
Yes.
And see through.
Yeah.
And they look like little smudges, I thought, you know, a little fingerprint smudge, you know. They were just, little pipsqueaks they were,
And so did they tell you the first 24 hours are really critical or no?
Apparently the first, well, look, it depends for everything, but they call the first 24 hours the honeymoon.
Actually. Right. 48 hours. Yeah.
The wheels start to fall off after that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any.
No.
So, I, of course, I hadn't seen the big kids at this point for a week.
Yes.
And I've never been separated from them for more than a day. So, that was really playing on my mind the whole time. Like, got to get the kids. Where are the, got to get the kids in here.
Yes.
I need the kids to meet their brothers before they die.
Yes.
You know, all of this stuff I was thinking, you know, it was very black and white. And the whole time I was meeting them, I was thinking, they have coffins this small? You know, the whole time I was literally thinking about the funeral. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. Not them or really anything else, just that, you know.
Yeah. Well, and so, it's a coping mechanism too.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a very strange circumstance to find yourself in. Really? Very surreal. Mm. It is. Yeah.
What day did you leave hospital, or were you able to stay for a little while?
I think I stayed until, you know, a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then went home, which, you know, I was lucky. It's so different for everyone, but I was so lucky that I had those big kids at home that so desperately needed me.
Yes.
And needed to know that I was okay.
Yeah. I think that's a clear difference for the first time mummies.
It really is.
Because I really observed it. I was like, how come you seem fine?
Yeah, I think it
is. Yeah. And although I felt so, I didn't really know what I felt about the babies at that point. You know, I just thought about the twins. I just thought, I've got to take care of my kids, my big kids. Yes. You know, they need looking after. So that was a big help.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that sort of horror of leaving them there or anything like that. Yeah. It was that was sort of permeated the whole way through NICU. It was a very clear delineation of like, I drop the kids at school, go to NICU, hang out there until 4 or 5, come home, do dinner with the kids.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? And it was very clear, like I just switched it off. Like
Yeah. And you want to be with the other kids. You love them.
You do. And they get you through in that really circumstance because they don't stop being bloody hilarious.
No, they don't.
You know? They're making you laugh so much. Yeah. So,
And no, I found because scholarship was only 4 and so she would say to people, we have babies in the hospital, and like I would never have volunteered that information to people, but it sort of gave me permission to, you know, tell talk a bit of the story or, you know, like,
and thank God for the school parents.
Oh yeah,
you know, because all of a sudden these, you know, 6 people that I'd sort of been a bit friendly with, because Jude had been started prep, so this was like July, so it was like 6 months into prep. So these people that I'd sort of been a bit friendly with suddenly became my lifelines. Were the people that I sobbed to actually over, you know, other people in my life that I'd had been in my life my whole life, you know, these people, 6 of them, just every morning cocooning me as I arrived.
Yeah.
What was the night like? What happened? Yeah. You know, just this day-to-day check-in of these parents was, you know, unbelievable. Like it was otherworldly. They were really phenomenal. They were incredible.
And most people are really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, we hear all the bad on the news and everything. Yes. But, yeah, I think you see people at a crisis and people raise up and people are good.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah.
It's hard to summarize your time. How long were they in there in total?
So Otis was there for – so basically Alfie started off the sicker of the two.
Yep.
Then it switched, like it often does, apparently.
Yeah.
And Otis took over with that. And so Otis was in for nearly 9 months, but then bounced back in quite a few times. So it was sort of, I sort of say he was in for a year, really.
Yeah.
And Alfie was 7 months, sort of. Yeah. It's a
long time.
Yeah. So we bounced, Otis got discharged initially on Christmas Eve and then bounced back in like a week, not even, 3-4 days. He was discharged on the 20th and we had to go back in on Christmas night.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, which was actually so nice because, of course, we were best friends with all the nurses then.
You had to see them all.
And and the fellows and the doctors, whatever, and we walk in and they're like, these people that we hadn't, whose sides we hadn't left for 6 months, it felt weird to not be having Christmas with them, you know? So it was it was a sort of celebration.
Where's
in a way.
The ham?
Yeah. So then, that's right. So then he stayed in till end of Feb.
Wow.
And then, so I had Alfie at home for 2 months, him in. And then we got discharged, and about a week later, then we bounced into the Royal Children's Hospital.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So, they both, home on oxygen, and Otis has only just come off oxygen in the last like month and a half, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yes, and because he's so active, like I'm saying it from your Instagram, but he's like at the park and he's
He's
living everywhere. His best life.
He really is. Beach, like, you know, Christmas time, he face planted into the sand, and suddenly he's it's all going up his nose, and he's aspirating sand, you know, like into his lungs. And I'm going, oh my God, we're going to end up back in.
Yep.
And I'm going to have to rock up to ED and say, I'm really sorry, but he aspirated sand. And they're probably saying, what have you got your child on oxygen down at the beach for? You know,
because we're living our life. Anyway,
yes. I know, I totally know. Yeah. I'm sure. But yeah,
so you brought them both home on oxygen. And then what was that like, trying to adjust to oxygen and feeding and full-time two babies? I mean, and
it was so ridiculous. Yeah. And I was still pumping. So
yeah, I was going to ask
pumped
that.
Because Otis was so sick and he wasn't, you know, like, because also he'd passed the six-month point for solids, and nobody really knew what to do. Like, I kept saying to the dietitian, are we supposed to be giving him solids? And she's like, oh, God, I don't, this is like a very unusual case.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we were in hospital for all of that, and like, he had his first solids, but he developed oral aversion. So, of course, he was only having the milk.
Yep.
Yeah.
And in my head, of all the things that I could control, I felt, well, I can control
this
pumping.
Yep.
So I'm just going to keep pumping.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I pumped, God, until he was, nearly – I don't know, not 20 months, something like that.
What a woman.
Because he was only having milk.
Yes.
So I just felt like that was, I don't know, what I could do. So.
Well, good on you and congratulations for that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that was hectic. So, you know, every hour, like a couple of hours just going in and pumping for them. Look, it was bizarre. To be honest, I don't know. I'm an artist and there's something about chaos and creative problem solving that I excel at.
Yes.
So, you know, everything just became a sort of way, just a creative problem really that needed solving. And it felt ridiculous. Like I could pull out enough to go, this is ridiculous what you are doing right now.
Yeah.
Schlepping, I mean, each oxygen canister, they were both on very high levels of oxygen. So each oxygen canister was 20 kilos. And so sometimes I didn't have a pram that could carry the 20 without, you know, the baskets underneath would just like collapse.
Of course.
So often I had one tank under, one tank on my back, or I was carrying both tanks, you know, if they wanted to crawl around or walk or whatever. And, you know, I'd put one tank, one baby down that I thought Otis was sort of less mobile. So I'd just leave him next to the tank and chase Alfie with his tank, you know, like go to the art gallery and do things like that.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre. But yeah, look, it just, I don't know. It was, to be honest, I was just so happy that I couldn't believe they were alive.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Can't believe they're alive.
No. Whole perspective, doesn't it?
Correct. Yeah. And it really does. It's somebody said it's something like, my psychologist friend said it's post-traumatic growth.
Yes.
Wow. What a
that
great
you can
place.
Have.
Yes.
Yeah. So she said you either can have that or you can have this.
Yeah.
I sort of am a bit more tentative and like I think I'm in post-traumatic limbo.
Yes.
Because I don't know if it's hit me still yet.
Yeah.
You're going through a pandemic. So you haven't even got time.
You haven't had a chance.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
And scary having sick, you know, immunocompromised babies during a pandemic.
I know. And when it first hit, it's a respiratory virus.
Yes.
We don't know anything about it.
Yes.
We don't have any data about whether children who are on oxygen and the bus on oxygen. So they're like, we don't have any data about children on oxygen, how they'll fare in this, blah, blah, you know. So
you went into pretty strict lockdown, didn't you?
Straight up, pulled the kids out of school as soon as we sort of got wind of it. And because Lani's also medical, so she was like, I think we need to take this quite seriously. That was a little tricky.
Yeah.
But as it's gone on, you know, I don't know. Some days I feel more anxious than others.
Yeah.
Usually, generally, when I haven't slept, over with the Twinkies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a sort of it's a very unique circumstance to go from that, you know, that year of prem life, and then, you know, we're still bouncing in and out of hospital for that chunk afterwards, and then going into the pandemic.
It's
tricky.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
What about like a first diagnosis? What was sort of something that happened first? Or
So day four of life, they do the brain scans.
Yep.
Which I, again, didn't know anything about. I didn't, like, they came in to scan their brains and I just thought, I don't know what they're doing here.
I know. Yeah.
And then they said, I know, and then they say, oh, we're going to have a family meeting. And I'm like, what's that? Like, what's a family meeting? You know, which you read those goddamn things. But, at the beginning, you're
sounds like
oh,
the Brady Bunch,
meeting.
Doesn't it? Yeah. You're going to get together and decide who's doing the chores.
Alice is coming. Gonna bring you snacks.
Right. Where is Alice?
Yeah.
I want Alice.
I know where. I know. Well, luckily we did have an Alice sort of social worker. She was amazing.
Great.
But yeah, we went in this first day and they said, explain the whole deal about brain hemorrhages and said to us, so Alfie has unfortunately sustained a grade four right-sided brain hemorrhage and a grade two on the other side. And then she said, I can't remember what she said, but she said something like, and Otis has two or something. And Lani just burst into tears in that moment and said, what? Both of them? Like, as in, it was just so unfathomable, you know, that they could both have had. But actually what she meant was Otis had had two grade two.
Right, right.
Brain hemorrhages. Yep. So she said Otis has had two but didn't get to finish the sentence.
Yeah.
You know? So just remember that super clearly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he had a grade four brain bleed. And at the time, you know, they didn't really know what that meant. But they did say, you know, that's a cerebral palsy situation. And you know, there's so many questions we had, like, you know, what does that mean? Yeah. And, you know, they tried to explain different sides of the brain. But it's so complex for doctors in that circumstance to try to explain in a way that's like not too much information, but enough information that you're not, you know, your imagination doesn't take you away. And I think it was at that point, very early on, that we learned to do that thing that you do learn to do in NICU, which is moment by moment.
Yeah.
Just stay in the moment.
Yep.
Wait and see what happens.
Yep.
You know, all of that business.
Yep.
So Alfie's brain hemorrhage ended up getting downgraded to a level three. So it wasn't as severe as they thought it was originally because there was talk that they were going to have to shunt and all of those kind of things, which they didn't have to do, which was good. And so Alfie has I'm so sleep deprived. I'm like left, right, right-sided hemi. He has a left-sided hemi.
Yeah.
And Otis has hypotonia from his time of being very sick on his back for such a long time, you know. So he has mobility issues, language delay, pretty severe dysphagia from being intubated for so long. That's the sort of official diagnosis at the moment. And then a lot of it's just sort of like wait and see, you know.
Which is
a sort of, I don't mind that, you know, like some people find that complicated and I totally get that. But for me, it's sort of staying in the moment and not jumping too far ahead with diagnoses keeps me able to experience the joy of the moments and the little things that they achieve.
Lots.
And And I suppose one thing about being in the pandemic that has been a positive is that there's been no sort of comparative.
Yeah, true.
You know, they haven't been able to go to daycare or they haven't been able to go to anything like that. So really they're just living their own best lives, which is which is a silver lining, I guess, of that from my point of view. And and, you know, I haven't got a teaching background and so, you know, we just have a marvelous time, really. Yeah. We just spend our days doing hilarious, great things that are sort of, you know, I love the challenge of therapy and doing, I mean, I get it's exhausting, but I do have fun turning it into a sort of, I don't know, creative explosion or whatever. Generally what happens in our house, chaos. Other people would call it chaos. I call it creative explosion.
Did you have therapists come into the home, like before the pandemic?
So we've never gone out for therapists because Otis never coped with that as a baby. So they've always come into us, which has been great. So we've got speechy. And we've just started going to the OT, which is outside.
I wish I had that wisdom at the time, but I think it's a really powerful way of living and it's definitely how I live now because the kids do bring constant joy and I don't think people whose children don't have any sort of disabilities or additional needs, they don't constantly future gaze and with the worst case scenario in mind, like, you know, you talk to people like, oh, well, I think they're going to go to uni. They want to do medicine or whatever. Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to get on heroin and, catastrophize, which is fair enough and we have every right to do it. But it's also beautiful and I agree that the pandemic has given me that of just sitting in the moment with, with the twins. All together saying the most ridiculous things and I've been able to, even though it's sad for them as teenagers, I've really been able to get to know them, you know, as 16-year-olds, and it's been amazing.
I felt like mine were slipping away, like they were 15, 16, and then, the world said, no, no, they're not slipping away.
you may have them.
Why don't you be together 24/7?
2 years.
Which, you know, I will look back and be grateful once we recover.
It's going to be a long recovery because as much as it is, you know, delicious and wild here and chaotic and gorgeous, I'm pretty tired.
Can you talk about the time, I think you were you going to Queensland or maybe you were going to Byron Bay and then like the borders shut and you had to get on a plane and then it felt like a bus and then a train and then I was just watching in horror. And you
were just
managing it so beautifully.
Yeah, well, we were in Byron. It was the first time we'd gone on a we'd gone away, and we couldn't fly because Otis was still on this high level of oxygen. It was just too many question marks about his oxygen levels up there, right? So we drove in the minivan. We've got a multivan, which we had to buy in NICU, which was just so hilarious. Like all the I mean, just shout out to the bloody nurses. They were the people who got me through NICU, like hands down. Every day we had a party in room 13 to 16, just like seriously, like because you know the art of conversation. Is so lost, you know, in so many ways. And there you are, 12 hours a day with these people on a shift. And oh my God, do you chat?
You learn a lot of things about them, don't you?
Right. And also just like these incredible conversations that you have and laughter. I mean, that's one of the things that you don't understand. I suppose if you're not in it, it feels like tragedy. But honestly, I've never laughed so hard in my whole life as when we're in NICU. And it's, you know, such a good release. Like every day, just like tears running down my face laughing. And so sorry, I'm just having thoughts. I just lost me for a minute.
The minivan.
But no, we went to minivan, back to the multivan, Byron Bay, went there. It was great. And then they said, okay, if you don't come back to New South Victoria, we're going to shut the borders. Oh, we're shutting the borders, whatever that was.
Was this the first one?
And I don't remember when it was.
No, it was at Christmas. It was Christmas.
Oh, Christmas, that's right. There was another one.
You know, there's cases in Sydney.
Yes. So if you don't come back. You have to get home.
It was New Year's Day. So it was like the 31st. If you don't come back today, you're going to have to go into hotel quarantine.
No, I'm not.
I was just like, what is she going to do?
And so... we're just like sitting there problem solving and all of a sudden we went, okay, if we cross over into the Queensland border, over the Queensland border because we're in Byron, if we crossed over the Queensland border, we might be able to we'll be safe because then we won't be whatever zone New South Wales was. And then that gives us a bit of grace to get back.
Yeah, even if and we have problem, to come home through Uluru.
Right, pretty much. No, but that's what happened. So we couldn't get back in the car because the car had to stay in New South Wales for some reason. So we were going to have to get on the plane. I can't even remember why. Get on the plane. So we're paging at the Royal Children's Hospital, our respiratory physician, saying, we need you to sign a letter to say that Otis is allowed to get on a plane. Oh, and he's like, has he done the test? And I said, no. And he said, all right, he should be right. That's what you think? And I said, I don't know. Like, what do you reckon? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, my he's God. He's like, yeah. Stress.
He said, look, at the end of the day, it's an hour. So, you know, worst case scenario, it's an hour. He's not going to have a hypoxic incident in an hour. So I think we'll be all right. We're like, okay, good. So he's like, I'll send the form. Poor love. He was just, you know, at home in his backyard cooking a Barbie. Yeah. You know? So he's like, he's getting his, like, signing this form to us. And then get on this plane. Lani's signing medical clearance forms. Like, we didn't know what we were doing. You know, never been on a plane with oxygen. And so we get to Coolangatta Airport, rock up. I just remember we had four car seats with us.
Uh-huh.
And all the bags, all and the oxygen. Christmas presents, the oxygen tank. Otis, I'm trying to carry. I've got the pram. I've got, like, everything. And this woman just looked at us and she said, God bless her, she said, what do you need from us? And I looked at her and I said, everything. And then I picked up. She's like, okay, so you've got all these things. And she starts checking luggage through. And Lani and I pick up the seats to put them on the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And like 10 tons of snacks just fall onto the floor.
Sultanas.
Snacks, like moldy biscuits, like going on the conveyor belt.
Banana and apple.
I can see it.
Oh.
Don't worry about it. Okay.
Sorry.
And then we even went through the jolly security thing. And, of course, I had all Otis's tapes. Like, I carry this emergency pack of him. You know, I've got his syringes for feeding. I've got everything. And I've got this emergency thing. And they said, do you know you have five pairs of scissors? I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I wasn't even thinking about scissors. And they said, do you know what, we're going to let you keep a couple, but we'll just take you. Three.
Okay. I promise you, we would not have time or hands to stab anyone.
No. Exactly.
I'll sign a waiver.
So they let us in. And poor, like, my eldest is just going, Mum, are we going to get in trouble? We're going to go to jail. I'm saying, you know, like, just to add to the sort of, like, to add to the just chaos of their lives for the last 3 years. They now think we're going to jail because we've got scissors in our bag.
No, where are the scissors?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Oh, I mean, there was just the whole last 3 years have been pickled with anecdotes like
I know.
It's been absurd.
Yeah. And then you renovated your house. Film.
Then we renovated the house because we had no bedrooms.
Yes.
So in the middle of a pandemic.
Which is fun because the tradies can't come in, or then you've got to make sure they wear masks, and tradies, as I say, I've got a lot of tradies who I love. They don't love the mask.
No.
So fun times.
No. And, I mean, look, we're so lucky that we were able to renovate. But, yeah, it felt like all the wrong timing. Like, we weren't ready to renovate our house. And so I had the twins, and that was, you know, constantly going and trying to choose tiles and things with oxygen and, you know, like all of that stuff. Like, it was pretty funny.
No episode of Grand Designs.
No. How we even managed it, I don't know. But, yeah.
Oh, because women are amazing.
It's very ridiculous.
That's why women are incredible.
They really are. And shout out to just having a female partner.
Oh,
Hannah, we're all jealous.
Don't even jealous.
Tell us. I know. Tell us everything.
Well, she's
extraordinary.
I mean, she's bloody extraordinary. She just, you know, she walks in at the end of the day, and, you know, often she'll leave at 7 in the morning. Yeah. She doesn't get in until 7:30, 8, whatever at night. And she just walks in and just says, right, what do I need? Where do you need me?
Brilliant.
And just starts going and just keeps going and going. And then once all the kids are asleep and I go to bed, stumble up the stairs or whatever to bed, she starts working again. Yeah. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Like, so I feel so lucky. I feel incredibly lucky to have been by her side for all of this. Yes. She's just a legend.
What a and love
story. Of course,
story.
Not only was it a bloody pandemic, she's going to the hospital every day.
Yes.
So she spent the first like 8 months of last year sleeping in on a mattress on the floor because she was too scared of being near the twins in case she passed COVID onto that. You know, like it was like
goodness.
That.
You just wouldn't believe this. If you'd written like a dystopian novel or something, this is what's going to happen. People are like, that is a ridiculous concept. No one's going to believe this.
It really is. It really is. It's a really, truly bizarre tale.
Yeah.
I know. Here we are.
Well, more power to you for your relationship being strong, because I know a lot of, heterosexual couples do not cope with this sort of thing, someone decides it's too hard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we were so lucky that we have such a joyous relationship as well, and we were able to share that with Niku because I think, since we've been there, huge changes have happened for the LGBTQI++ community in Niku. So there's now like a Nikon. I'm thinking of the colours, the rainbow colours of the Nikon. There's now a Niku LGBTQI transgender liaison officer, which is incredible. Yeah. And I feel really happy that we were able to share that journey and be there for so long.
Yes.
And have so many of the nurses and doctors fall in love with Otis and us, it felt I don't think it was a common thing for a lot of them, nurses, to encounter and to have sort of been able to advocate and share through joy, and just sort of humanity.
Yeah.
It's Schitt's Creek for the NICU.
Yeah, it was Schitt's Creek for the NICU. Seriously. Yeah. And, of course, there was, things that people would classify as, microaggressions that happened, things like, so how does it all work with you? You know, things like that. But at the end of the day, the joy that we were able to, I think, just sort of connect with people and just to have so much fun because we're such a raucous bunch. That they just it just didn't matter, And it was so the fact that they've now walked away going, oh my god, gay people are the best.
Yes.
Gay families are the best, gay parents are the best.
Yes.
The fact that that has happened makes me so happy. Yes. Because of course there's so many gay families accessing IVF.
Of course.
There's a slightly increased risk of having twins with IVF.
Yes.
So there are a lot of, families in there, LGBT, and, different people who've had to make their families in different ways.
Yes, yes.
That have therefore required NICU's assistance.
Yeah.
So it is actually, it is pretty common, but I don't think before us I'd had anyone for that sort of length of stay, when we became part of the furniture.
Yes, you really did.
Which was really nice.
What a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. It feels good. Yeah. And sort of part of that, a positive sort of essence of that experience. Yeah.
And so how's everybody going now, 3 years down the track?
I mean, good. I don't know. I feel that I don't know what the future will bring, but right now it just feels like everybody is kind of happy and healthy. Yeah. It's hard. It's bloody hard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to sort of sugarcoat it.
It's a
physical
nappies, dressing, undressing,
it
feeding,
really is.
Cleaning.
Yeah. All
lifting,
of that stuff is
carrying all of it.
You can't
take your eyes off them. Managing the older two, it feels like there's a sort of double, it's just such different needs in the family. And, the older two have really struggled this lockdown with home learning and
too hard just this time.
Yeah.
Mental health stuff. Yep. Because it's just been, I think it's everyone, but particularly these guys, I think all of the last 3 years have just landed on their little laps and they've gone, we've been scared for so long, our mum went to hospital one day and never came back and our whole lives changed.
Yes.
I mean, she did come back, but, didn't come back for a long time. And then our whole lives changed in the most, epic way.
Yeah. And then the world shut down.
And then the world shut down.
And we lost all our friendships.
The world shut down. Exactly. And all of those things. So it has been a challenge and I'm really sort of, that's been tough. It's hard to see kids suffer like
it
that.
Is no, hard. It is.
And I know so many of the peas out there know this, but you know, that thing of just watching kids suffer is the worst thing you can do as a parent, you know? And I just think I've got this whole thing now, if I have to go and watch Otis be held down one more time, I actually can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't hold him and look in his eyes and say to him, it's okay, when he's saying, take me home, mummies, make them stop, you know, like, I can't do it.
I felt like that too. I felt like I was giving up on her when I couldn't I
know.
Do it
it's such a weird paradox, isn't it?
I can't do this anymore, but then she's begging me to be there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I know. You can, and you've got to
not be able to do it and still do it.
Exactly. That's right. And that's the paradox of it.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, yeah. But you know what you guys have done and built this community, just knowing that there's so many people out there that are going through the same thing, you know, and in the hospitals and walking the corridors and you know, it's just so incredible. It's so special.
When you sent us that email about you're in the school office and you were juggling the twins and somebody said they'd been listening to us.
That made me unbelievable. I was like,
it was unbelievable. And she went and got me a glass of water and cushions. And it was 42 degrees. I had one on the front, one on the back, you know, in the carriers and sitting in the school office just thinking, am I even allowed to be here? I don't know, but I'm just going to be here because it's so hot. And I've got these tiny babies and I've got the oxygen, the 40 kilos of oxygen. So, you know,
I think personally that's when I felt like our message got somewhere.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it that day because it was early on, you know.
Yeah, it was early on.
She said, I don't know. She goes, I don't want to sort of step out of line here, but, you know, there's this wonderful podcast about premature twins. And she's like, it feels relevant for you. And I was like, oh, I know them. I was like, I love them.
Incredible.
It was so beautiful. Yeah, it was so beautiful and amazing and just life-changing. Well, yeah.
We made this for you. So
yes, we did.
It's so amazing. And, you know, it's true. Like, you go to the Royal Kids and you're standing there and I keep looking at all these people and I keep thinking, did they know? Did they listen to that episode?
I know.
Like, many T-shirts just every time they go.
Yeah,
so that it's just going to be like, I've got you.
Some people do.
With you. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Little T-shirt at the hospital.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
The other thing that the Peach Tribe has been talking about lately is Two Peas and Musical. Yes. Now, I think we found our director.
Oh, of course we have.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when we're ready.
And of course, Daddy Blake, the musical theatre superstar. Yes.
So he can be the lead.
Yeah.
That's fine. And you and I can battle out, co-lead.
Yeah. As long as we can.
You guys would definitely be amazing. Like, I can just see it now.
I mean, no one's going to watch it, but we're going to do it.
But people send in songs all the time. So we've got a song called Puff It. We've got the Hamilton parody about Two Peas.
Yes.
So we've got all the songs ready to go. So
And there's a bit, you know, Blake was doing he was the lead in, oh God, what's it called? Book of Mormon. So Blake was the lead in Book of Mormon while we're in NICU.
Of course he was.
Can you imagine?
And probably when we saw it.
Was it in Melbourne?
I would have seen him.
Yeah. And every night he's singing I Believe.
I Believe. My God, I've seen Book of Mormon 5 times. It's literally my favourite thing in the whole world.
It's so great, isn't it?
Because we both grew up in the church.
So of course.
That cross came down at the start, we both started laughing already.
The angel on the temple. Angel.
It's so brilliant, isn't it?
We just lost our minds.
Mandy and I laughed for the whole time.
And the people behind us were like, oh, my gosh.
Why are we sitting near them? I just.
Oh, no. I was like, I mean, we went sort of the first night. I think I remember the twins were so, we were in NICU and Blake's like, I'm on, you know, tonight. You've got to come. And so the producer put 2 little fold-out seats at the back,
So you could leave if you needed to.
And Blake had been, you know, so stressed with the babies being born and everything. And I just kept thinking, oh, God, don't fuck it up. He was like front and center, you know, like the first person, my name is Elder Price.
Yes.
And I'm like, he's so like, there's nowhere to go. You know what I mean? No. I'm like, please. And he said, you have little faith. And I was like, yeah, I know. And that's what's going through my head the whole time.
Oh.
Because And, you know, like, I was just like, how could you have this? There's no way you could have this. You can't have this.
No.
It's like, and bloody hell, he pulled it just out of that. It was sensational, amazing. You know, didn't miss a beat.
So but, incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
No.
Little did we know.
Little did we know. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you can tell him we're big fans. And he can he can sing hello to me anytime.
Yes.
We've got a photo that's out the front, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beauty.
My you know, at the end of the year, Spotify does your Wrapped, your playlist, and it just says your top songs of 2020 or your top songs of 2021. And mine will be like, I don't know, Hilltop Hoods, Fleetwood Mac. Like it's, and then it'll just be hello.
I know, and you know, all the kids knew all the words of to all the songs.
Yes. They would have.
Just so deeply inappropriate. So,
mine do too.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
And they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
I know, but like, I was like, oh, I just had to send it to the teachers. Like, I'm really sorry.
Just if anything singing, comes out at the craft table.
Yeah.
I know, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Show and tell.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, Hannah, we could talk to you forever.
Yeah.
You could have your own podcast. Best. You could have your movie.
No.
All of you're that, really right? good.
But is there anything we've missed that you want to tell that we haven't asked?
No, God, I don't think so. You guys are just the bomb.
Aww.
And, yeah, amazing.
Well, thank
it's
you
been
for
so lovely to have you on this journey. I mean, I feel like this podcast sort of started right when the twins were just in NICU, which is so amazing, you know, and to just have sort of been on this journey from that point, you know, exactly. And when you reached out and said that, you know, to me it was so great. You emailed me and said, oh, I don't know if you're up for it yet. But I was like, yes, I'm up for it. Yeah. I'm pumping 24/7. I need something to listen to, you know. Yeah, it was so great.
I think I started following you because of Magda Sabansky must have shared it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I was like, premature twins? Right, I'm in, I'm following.
And then
I
was like, hey, you got to follow this chick.
Why I did. I was like, look at you guys.
Oh, yeah, she's so – there's such a cute photo on there of her with Alfie. Oh, my God, so beautiful.
Yeah.
So much joy, you know, just –
yeah.
All the gays.
Yeah.
So good.
Shout out to all the gays, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Everyone is in the P tribe. Everyone is in the P tribe.
Yeah.
We've had lots of people reach out to us that said we don't even have children, but we, you know.
And so many professionals.
Yeah.
Professionals.
Yep.
So many amazing, you know, gay crew out there. That, you know, been doing it for years. Like my aunties, you know, been working in that. These communities for years and years, just really, especially in Sydney, you know, just really snowballing this movement of advocacy for kids. So many gay women, just powerhouses in that realm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we're proud to know you.
We are.
And
oh, I'm so proud to know you, little celebrities.
We can't maybe one day we'll have a wine. Oh, you know, who knows?
Oh, please,
Melbourne,
25k.
Yes.
Do you drink gin?
Yes.
Because I'm very into gin.
We
good.
Love
okay.
Gin.
Good. You can come over to the newly renovated house
and have some gin.
Kate has a lot that spells gin.
I
it's
have
just over there.
Right.
Yes.
You can't and see. Blake can sing you. I'll get Blake to sing an idea.
Yeah. I'm there.
And we'll start plotting 2B's a musical because
amazing.
Wants
yes,
to be
please. Very gorgeous.
Thank you.
Well, you guys are the best.
I'm going to love you.
They
so thank
really
you.
Are. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, Mandy.
Oh.
I've admired that family for a long time.
Me too.
You have to get on their Instapeas. We will put it in the show notes. I'll tag her in the photos. And it's delightful. They embrace life.
That's right.
You know, you're out of lockdown or, you know, we can go to the beach for 10 minutes. They go.
They go.
Yeah. They just really know what's important.
Doing a fantastic job with their children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was just so lovely just to have an hour with her.
I know,
you just soak her in.
Full of life and
full of life. Oh. Yes. And well done to Lani too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What a woman.
Yeah, what a team.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It was wonderful.
You chose well.
Yes.
You really did.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, what a week.
What a week.
I feel like it's been a week. I don't know why. I think it's because Dan Andrews said, we're going to come out of lockdown a bit earlier. School's going to go back a bit earlier. I got excited, but the twins, it hasn't changed at all.
No.
So I put Woody
Some
through all the trauma of going, I think you're going back earlier. What does that mean?
Yes.
What does that mean? And then I'm like, oh, bloody hell, it
you're
means
not.
Nothing because you're still going on the same same day.
It was a challenging couple of days because I was like, I'm waiting for the three schools with the three different emails to tell me.
You were so right with that.
Yeah, I just thought, I'm not saying anything until I see all that.
I got to see the email from the principal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From all three of them.
Yeah.
So, it's felt like that day I sort of cried when I heard him talking when I was in the car, and then the next day I felt like I was going to have panic attacks all day.
Mm.
Had a few friends saying similarly. So,
well, it's so weird. And look, no offence, Dan, but we still haven't got our certificate, so I suppose I can speak my mind. Last year we got this roadmap after the second big lockdown, and I printed it out and put it on the kitchen window so we could all see what would happen. And then he just stood up one day and said, we're doing this instead. So the roadmap was defunct. And then they sort of did it again. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we of course I want to get out earlier, but you get your mind around what's going to happen That's and when. Right. And then you're like, oh, no, it's a week earlier.
And poor kids.
This thing's happening and this is – yeah, and it's actually really hard for them. And I know friends of mine that work in – like have restaurants. They're like, what? Oh, we've got to get everyone back? What? You know, like it's actually – I think we just hear it as the adoring and unadoring public, and then – for people who run small businesses, it's quite traumatic.
And our kids that have been home in their safety.
Yes.
Then, you know, the reintegration.
Well, because this is normal life to them.
This is. They don't really remember.
And
Molly's very anxious.
Yeah, Buzz and Woody don't want to go to school.
No, she doesn't want to go.
They will love it.
Yeah.
But they just like, no, this is how we do life now.
So, okay, I cried because Adele released her new single.
I've got the same cry. Have you heard it, Peace?
Oh.
I'm listening to it on repeat.
Yeah, and I mean everyone has their own story to the lyrics.
Yes, but they do.
I was just like, wow, I don't know if it was just the combination of the week and getting out of lockdown and
I don't know. I cried and cried.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. And then my friend rang and she goes, so what's happening? I go, I'm just listening to Adele. She goes, okay. So I'm just planting a new pot plant, but I can't stop crying.
I know.
I really miss singing.
Oh.
And she's like, I know, Mandy, it's okay.
Yeah. Look, it's strange times.
It is strange times.
It was really beautiful to thump out Adele.
Yeah, it was. I was like, that voice, I've missed you. I mean, you can listen to her whenever you want, but just the joy of a new album.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, what are we about to
coming?
Listen to for the next sort of 6-10 weeks on rotation?
I know. Perfect. Yeah. I saw that Taylor Swift pushed her album back. I was like, smart move, girlfriend. Smart move.
Yes, smart move. Oh, dear. What about Make a Difference?
Yeah. What made a difference to you, Mandy?
I don't know if I said this last week, but I'm watching a TV show called The Leftovers. Did I say this last week?
I don't think so. It's old. I've forgotten.
Right? It's 2014. Okay. Right. So one of my favorite podcasts, Mary and Blake, they do Outlander. Yep. They do This Is Us Too, all these sorts of ones. I love them, right? Yep. They were the speak pipe people. That's how I learn about speak pipes. Blake just constantly bangs on about The Leftovers.
Okay.
The best TV show he's ever seen, right? And he's a TV critic. So I thought, and I saw it on the Apple TV and I thought, oh, I'll see what he's carrying on about. Anyway, the first episode is about a whole lot of people disappearing. And I just sent him a speak pipe.
Of course you did.
And I said, Blake, I'm not sure I can watch this after being in lockdown for 9 months.
Yes, and everyone's been
Everyone's been sort of traumatised.
Yeah.
And then he wrote, I got a speak pipe back.
Oh.
Hey, Mandy, keep going. I promise you. I just thought, this is so funny. Cute. Anyway, I'm right into it.
Yep, right.
And he tells me the third season is filmed in Australia.
Oh, Australia. I was like, what? Melbourne?
Yes, it's Melbourne. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this is old.
Yep.
But I am hooked. So any of you, if any peas out there have seen The Leftovers, just tell me, come on, what you think.
I'm always late to everything, so.
It's just interesting because I felt panicky and I thought, I don't know if I can watch this after we've been through something.
Yeah, I have things I can't watch anymore.
You know what I mean?
I can't do this.
But then I thought, I just turned it off for a couple of days and then Blake got in my ear and I thought, okay, I'm back. So it's just taking my mind off it. Just, you know, Ted Lasso's finished.
Yes.
Morning Wars is maybe a bit
It's tricky. Not your jam.
Well, I love it, but anyway.
Yeah.
That was it. That's made a difference to
me. Okay. Well, I've got two things. The first one is out the front of my house I have 6 crab apple trees.
Yes.
And they are beautiful. And if you live around me, you will now know which house I live in because I've got a beautiful friend, Jo, and she's like, you're the crabapple queen.
Yeah, they're pretty beautiful.
And my beautiful, beautiful best friend, Rachel, when we built the house, I said, I don't know what to put out the front. She's like, crabapples. I've always wanted crabapples my whole life. She's always like, you're living my dream.
Yeah.
But They're beautiful. And as you walk up, you can hear the bees buzzing. It's so loud. Yeah. And they last for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But all the seaside daisies out under them. And it's like nature's wedding. I don't know. It's so beautiful. So every year I fall in love with them. And the other thing is I've started watching, you know, I love an English murder mystery. And I know this is, I'm very late to this. It's a show called Shetland. And it's filmed in the Shetland Islands off Scotland.
Oh.
And it's bleak, like, you know, the weather and stuff.
Yeah.
But where they live, like, you know, in summer the sun hardly goes down because it's right up near Norway. And I just love it. And the Scottish accents are really strong and they use sort of a bit of must be Celtic words as well that you sort of have to work out what they're saying.
Gaelic.
But when they say
– Gaelic.
Gaelic, yeah.
No, they say they call it differently.
Yeah,
they?
So it's like Gaelic in Ireland.
Yeah, it's Gaelic.
Yeah, so it's – yeah, so if you listen to the – I've got the subtitles up, but – because that's how I watch TV because people constantly talk to me.
Yeah.
They're like you can go on. I went on to Airbnb. Not that I'm ever traveling again, right? But I found a house that looks like the house and I favorited it in Airbnb. I showed number one daughter today. I was like, look.
Oh, we should go.
I'm going to stay here. Yeah. I'm going to go to the Shetland Islands and I'm going to stay here. And she goes, it looks amazing.
Now, Marnie will be onto it.
Oh, yeah, Marnie.
You can go there.
Yeah, it's – and we can visit Jamie Fraser as well. But come on. If you could just get, I don't know, how many – maybe 5,000 people in Scotland to listen to us, then we could do a live show.
Mandy could come.
Yeah, Mandy could come. Oh. I mean, you know, pandemic has to go and all of that. But
I don't even have a passport.
I'm loving Shetland because when they say murder, they say murder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it.
All right. What made you laugh?
Well, today I was in the car with Miss Tan and whenever we hear songs on the radio, she goes, oh, this is really popular on TikTok.
So that's like goes, my work, boys.
This is a TikTok song.
It's a TikTok song.
I was like, no, it's a radio song. Yeah. Anyway, she goes, this song is very popular in Italy in the clubs at night. I was like,
okay.
In the clubs at night. It's not nightclubs. It's in the clubs at night. I just laughed so loud. I said, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, but she's like, what is this on the radio? This is a TikTok song.
Every time so Fleetwood funny. Mac comes on, the work boy's like, isn't this that TikTok cranberry song? I'm like, stop it. No, right now. It's Fleetwood Mac. I've been listening to it for years.
Anyway, if anyone can go back to a club at night.
Yeah, let us know. I mean, it's is like, it a popular
she doesn't
song?
Even know what. Doesn't even know what she's talking about. And I was like, oh, yeah, that you might be able to go to a nightclub one day.
Yes.
Like all you people in your 20s, when can that all happen for you again?
Scholarship's like, I've missed all of it.
Yes, I said, you have.
Because she's booked a concert. So in Melbourne, my favourite concert venue is the Forum. And Scholarship's like, I've booked a concert and I realised I've never been to the Forum because it's an 18-plus venue. Right. She's 20.
Yes.
But all those things that they've just missed out on. She's like, just now, she's going, I feel like I've really missed out on a lot. And I was like, you have.
You have.
She goes, and then all the other 18-year-olds going to come up and sort of push us out? Yep. It's like, maybe. Yeah.
I just send a boost of encouragement to all of you in your early 20s. If you're listening.
Yeah, which you're not.
We do. But we have some listeners. Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I hope you enjoy going to the clubs at night.
Yeah. Back in the day, we called it night clubbing, but now the young people call it the clubs at night.
So
I got to get with the lingo.
Oh, dear.
So I laughed very hard. I think I mentioned Scholarship's working at the vaccination hubs and she's going between them all, drawing up the Pfizer and the Moderna and whatever. Anyway, because she's a Monash student and they offered those jobs to Monash students, so she took it. Anyway, I said to Woody the other day, he came into my room and I was like, we have to watch the press conference because it's being filmed where Scholarship's working.
Yes, great.
So he's like, okay. So he came and we sat on my bed. And Jerome stood up and started talking. He's sort of got an English accent, quite sexy voice, right? Not that I, you know, think things are sexy or not, but it's a good voice.
Yeah.
And Woody just goes, do you think that he knows that Scholarship's the smartest person at that place? He goes, I bet none of them got a year 12 score like her.
Yeah, well.
I was like, you're probably right, mate.
Apart from him.
I know. All these professionals and doctors and nurses. But he's just like, no one's as smart as her. And they probably don't even know that she's there. She is smarter than them.
It's probably true.
I was like, that's right, mate. But I thought, isn't that amazing how much you can.
He's so proud.
So proud, yeah. So very, very cute.
Oh,
anyway,
gorgeous.
That made me laugh for a long time. He's never said it about me.
No, nor me. Thank you, Peace. Thank you for listening to the Bendigo Bank. Thank you for your reviews. We don't thank you. The one person gave us a dodgy one, but you can have your say. That's okay.
Okay. And for people that said we sold out, we didn't sell out. We 100% embraced this full on, but we would never do it on our podcast.
No, we were so thrilled to be
just
asked.
So you know, we have been asked to do sponsored things that we have never
done.
We say no. This is a sacred place. But this is a job.
Yeah.
That was a job that we got asked to do in a year where we haven't been able really to do it.
Proud,
I'm so proud. I don't care what you say to me. I love it.
Yeah, that's right.
And thank you for ordering the books. We've had more come.
There has been a bottleneck,
but we've sent 60 today. We've got another 60 coming. Yep. So order away. If you want Christmas wrapping, then you'll just put it in the notes. You can put in the notes when you order
it. Kate's bought new wrapping paper.
I have, and I'm very proud of it. And you can still buy them from our merch people, which helps them out as well.
Yeah.
And they're just signed and boring and get sent to you. Yeah. But they're awesome. They're there. And if you just want a signed copy, they also have them. And they've just got a new delivery today too.
And when this comes out, Melbourne people, we will be somewhat out.
Yes, we will. The shops will be nearly open.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to do our
Let
us know if there's, you know, some of you that live near Chatty or something, maybe we could do it there if we're brave enough. But we'll definitely do Eastland.
The epicentre.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Thanks for listening. See you.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.